gosh. All right, you are ready to go.
Okay, let's get started. Zoning Board of Adjustment meeting will please come to order. Adequate notice to this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News. Notice posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. Notice made available to the township clerk. Notice sent to the Courier News and to the Star Ledger. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Zimmerman?
Here.
Mr. Weissman? Oh, he's not here today, I apologize. Mr. Reggio?
Here.
Mr. Patel?
Here.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Here.
Mr. Ali?
Here.
And Chairman Cahill?
Here. Will everyone please stand for a salute to the flag?
America, and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation,
under God,
indivisible,
liberty and justice for all.
Before we start the meeting, I'd like everyone to take some somber moments this weekend to remember those that passed in the armed services this Memorial Day. Thank you. Mr. Keneally, are there any changes to the agenda?
I'm not aware of any changes to tonight's agenda.
Mr. Keneally, I emailed you. Both solips have postponed.
Oh, I was not aware of that. I must have left the office to come home to get ready for my meeting.
I apologize. Ms. Cameron is here on behalf of solips.
Yes, good evening. Thank you. Laura said, I'm here on behalf of solips, Lindsay Cameron from Brock Eichler. We got the reports today and want to be able to meet with your landscape and architect and make sure we can address all the points that were raised in the letters. Thus, we have a new date of June 24th, which we understand we do not have to notice as we're putting it on the record right now.
Correct. So anyone here on the two solips applications, 377 and 371 Hose Lane, they will be adjourned to June 24th with no further notice by the applicant.
Thank you.
Mr. Thank you, man. Thank you, Mr. Keneally. Let's move on to item number five, 21-ZB-12V, Yavendra Patel.
Hello. Hi, my name is Neil. I'll be translating for my father, Jayendra Patel. He's here. Dad, do you want to say hi?
Say hi.
Okay.
Is it Neil Patel?
Yes.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Okay. Are you authorized by your father to proceed here?
Yes. And if you want, I can have him speak as well. He speaks English, but I can just translate for him.
You know what? Rather than do that, perhaps you can act as his agent and explain to the board what your parents would like to do here.
Perfect. So we have a sewer easement on our property. We'd like to build a fence in our backyard. So we'd like a variance to be able to build the fence over the easement.
Did you see Mr. Hinterstein's report in this matter?
Yes, they said, I think that's the report where I have to move the fence 20 feet from the curb.
That's correct. And are you agreeable to do that?
Yes, sir.
Any other comments, Henry?
Just that the applicant should be aware that if for some reason the township needs to gain access to that sewer easement, any costs associated with the removal and or replacement of that fence will be the applicant's responsibility.
Are you okay with that, Mr. Patel?
Yep, yes. I agree.
Okay, fine. Anyone else on the board have any questions for this application or comments? Hearing none, I'm gonna put it into the public portion. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments about this application? Ms. Buckley?
No, I do not see anyone.
Just close the public portion then. I'd make a motion to approve this application.
As amended.
Yes, I apologize, Jim. Laura, call the roll.
Wait, who's second? I'm sorry.
But yeah.
Kalpesh. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ali?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Mr. Patel, you've been granted an approval as amended. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting. You do not need to be present for that. We will mail a copy of that to you. You'll need that for your permit.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to item number 6, 21-ZB-13V, Megha Patel.
Is Megha Patel present?
Wait, somebody is raising their hand. Yes, go ahead, Mr. Patel.
Yes, yes, hi, are you here?
Oh, Ms. Patel, yes, hi.
Okay, are how many people are present?
It's myself and my husband, Jignesh Patel.
Are you both going to testify tonight?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, could you each raise your right hand?
Sure.
You swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
One at a time, could I have your name and address, please?
Megha Patel, 14 Linden Street, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Mr. Patel?
We lose them, Laura?
They're muted.
Can
I just ask them?
Unmute.
Here we go.
Jignesh Patel, 14 Linden Place, Piscataway, New Jersey.
Thank you. Could one of you explain to the board what you'd like to do here?
Sure. So we are looking to build a fence around our property line. We are looking to get variance on the Richmond side, Richmond Street side, at 10 feet off the curb line.
And did you see Mr. Hinterstein's report in this matter?
Yes.
And he's asking you to move the fence back. Are you willing to do that?
Actually, I'd like to, you know, have the fence at 10 feet. The way I see the property is that at the 10 feet, I don't think it will obstruct much traffic. As you can see, the street goes on further. The back of my property line also has the township trees, and after that is a parking lot, extended curb. So anyone taking a turn in is already blocked by that. So us putting us at the 10 feet or back into 20 feet, I don't think will make a difference. So I would like to ask the board to see if we can do 10 feet off the curb line.
Mr. Hinterstein, perhaps you can give us your opinion.
Yeah, well, my opinion is that the ordinance requires the fence to be 35 feet back in this location, which is even with the house. So that being said, I think a reasonable compromise here would be to move the fence back 10 feet off of the property line or 20 feet off of the curb, similar to the last application, so that the fence isn't right up against the sidewalk and again impinging on that site corridor on Richmond Street. As mentioned, there is a parking lot behind her in the township park, which is another reason why cars come around out of that parking lot onto Richmond Street. And that corner of that fence there, that additional 10 feet will help with the little bit more of the visibility, but it's also a site corridor issue. So again, the ordinance requires 35 feet in a front yard for solid fences. I think 10 feet is more than a reasonable compromise of what we're asking for. And still maintains a rather usable space in the applicant's property.
Ms. Patel, do you understand the testimony given by Mr. Hinterstein?
We understand, but again, I just want to again reiterate that we understand the traffic coming in, but the point we want to make is that that parking lot that is, there is a parked cars first and there is an extended car, right? And there are already up until the property line on the Richmond Street are township trees that sometimes grow, and you know they also block the view. Anyways, so us putting a fence back 10 feet, I think it doesn't make sense, right? I mean, to us, and plus the property, just know that the properties are surrounded by the park, township park. So we really want to maximize our space on that side because, you know, we want to build specifically for privacy purposes and to avoid all the nuisance. And obviously the baseball balls coming into our backyard. Yeah, we do have two little kids. So I definitely want to, you know, maximize our space in the backyard. If we can work out maybe a little bit less than 20 feet would also be helpful.
Mr. Patel, I believe Mr. Hinterstein has already offered a compromise, which is far less than the ordinance requires.
Jim, yeah. Possibly you would explain to the applicant that she's got to demonstrate some reasons other than she wants it.
Yes, Ms. Patel, in order to get a variance, you have to provide legal reasons that serve as the basis for your variance. Just saying that you would like a larger backyard fenced in is not a legal reason to grant you relief in this matter. So if you were asked, if you were to ask the board to vote on your application as it stands, I would have to advise the board that there are no legal reasons on the record to do so.
Okay. Professional, so I guess
Lucerstein has offered a compromise, which is far less than the ordinance requires.
Ms. Patel?
Yes.
Hi. We rely on our township engineers and their expertise to go through the specific rules that are on the township in terms of ordinances and whatnot. I will tell you that 99.9% of the time, the board will vote on the direction given to us by Henry Interstein as our engineer. Yeah. So I think he's offered you a compromise at this point. It could have been 35 if we wanted to do the letter of the law. I think it's a good compromise, and I would suggest you take it because I think we wouldn't vote in favor of this if you held out and wanted to just go with the 10.
Okay, thank you, sir. Just to note, the side, it was a request. The side of the property line is already 35. If I do 35, I'll be building a fence right next to my wall of the house. Mm-hmm. So, and as you know, it borders the park, so we definitely need a privacy fence there. There's a lot of nuisance, parked cars in the backyard that the garbage comes into, our backyard. So, is it possible for us to request 15 feet off the property line?
What I'm suggesting is 10 feet from the property line. Your proposal.
I mean, sorry, 15 feet from the curb line. I'm so sorry. I'm looking at the wrong line.
I think 20 feet from the curb line is the minimum that it has to be. We could talk about, maybe greater and meeting in the middle, because to be honest with you, again, the ordinance is 35 feet. I understand you have a small yard in the back, and I'm trying to work with you here, but if you heard the similar application right before yours. It was a very similar corner application, and we made the same request of that applicant.
We understand this. Thank you, sir. Arbitrary thing. The only case I can make here is that alongside the same property line where you're asking me to put the fence back in, there are, if you go further on that street, there are township trees right at the curb, right? So that makes me believe that, even my fence can border those trees as well, which is 10 feet off the property curb line.
Ma'am, there is a requirement for a fence setback. There is not a requirement for a tree setback. So you can't compare your fence to a tree.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Ms. Patel, if you're okay with Mr. Hinterstein's suggestions, I think we can proceed with this.
Just one clarification. Mr. Henderson did mention if you want a meeting. So was that an offer for us to go a little bit less than 20 feet off the curb line or no? Sorry, I didn't understand that piece.
No, 20 feet off the curb line, 10 feet off the property line.
Thank you, sir. Okay.
Okay.
Does anyone else on the board have any questions for this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public portion. Anyone in the public portion have any questions or comments for this application?
No, Chairman.
Nothing? Close the public portion. I make a motion to approve this application with the amendments that Henry suggested.
I'll second.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Your application has been approved as amended. We will memorialize it in a written document at our next meeting. You do not need to be present for that. We will mail a copy of that document to you. You'll need a copy of that to get your building permits.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mrs. Patel. Have a great night, you and your husband.
You too, thank you.
Okay, bye. Let's move on to item number 8, 20-ZB-64V, Michael Murray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Arvin Itall, attorney of law for the applicant before the board. This evening, a couple of housekeeping matters. First, a complaint. The Montreal Canadiens are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs this evening. I don't want to sell out the person whose screen I often see in a reflection. Playing, I can't watch hockey tonight. And I can see that he's definitely just an Islanders fan, whoever this individual is. That being said, Mr. Chairman, if I may just confirm with your board attorney whether the notices are proper and the board has jurisdiction over this application this evening.
The notices are proper and the board has jurisdiction to proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, one other housekeeping matter, and that is I have four reports that Ms. Buckley was able to share with us. Thank you, Laura. If I could just confirm that those are the reports that we'll be providing our testimony upon. We have a November 13th, 2020, no comment memorandum from Mr. Gasperi at DPW. We have an October 16th, 2020 report, zoning report for Ms. Corcoran. It was revised as of April the 12th, 2021. I have an April 13th memorandum from Mr. Chadwick. And finally, I have Mr. Hinterstein's April 21st, 2021 memorandum as well. If those are the four that we're working off of and I'm not missing any, we're ready to proceed.
We good, Laura?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you. As the board members are aware, this is a property that's located in the R10A zone. And the lot itself is an oversized lot. It's approximately more than three times the size of what the residential lots have to be in that area. It's across the street right now from a junkyard in Middlesex Borough. That junkyard is going to be developed into a warehouse facility and also a VW facility for the borough of Middlesex is proposed immediately there as well. So what we're proposing, in addition to that, as the board members may be aware if they've driven down William Street, immediately surrounding this property on the Piscataway side of William Street are a number of multifamily residential homes. So our argument as our planner who'll be putting on later would be that this is probably the best planning alternative to develop the property. We did submit an application last year. Your board was very wise and kind and told us that we should probably rethink the 24 units that we had originally filed to build on that lot. And we have come back with a 12 unit development that we're proposing. I think that that's more in character with the immediate surrounding area. As our planner will testify, I think it's also the best planning alternative. This is a bifurcated application. We're seeking just the use variance this evening. There are two D variances and there's one bulk variance. We have a use variance for constructing the three-story 12 unit residential structure. And we also have a D5 variance that we're seeking for maximum permitted density. And we also have a bulk variance finally for maximum permitted building coverage. With your permission, Mr. Chairman, if I can call our first witness, who'll be wearing two hats tonight, Mr. Lanzafama, will be both our engineer and our planner.
Please proceed.
Mr. Lanzafama, if you can just unmute yourself and go on camera.
Mr. Lanzafama, are you with us?
I am.
Could you raise your right hand?
I have.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
I do. My name is Michael Lanzafama. That's L-A-N-Z-A-F-A-M-A. I'm a licensed professional engineer, land surveyor and planner, licensed in the state of New Jersey. I hold a bachelor's science degree in civil and environmental engineering from New Jersey Institute of Technology. I've been licensed as a professional land surveyor and engineer since 1984, and as a professional planner since 1985. I've testified numerous boards throughout the state, including Piscataway's planning board, as well as some time ago, this board. It's Mr. been a long
Chairman,
time.
I believe yeah, Mr. Eitel, I think his credentials are impeccable. So let's proceed.
Thank you.
Mr. Dale.
Mr. Lanzafama, if you can, you've heard my opening remarks. Did I say anything incorrect?
No, you did not. You're spot on there.
Okay, great. So give the board the benefit of an overview from the perspective as an engineer. You're the civil engineer of this project. And finally, give us the planning justifications for the three variances that we're seeking this evening.
I'll be happy to. The first thing I'd like to do is I'd like to share my screen so that I can share with the board members information with regard to the surrounding area. As the attorney pointed out, property in question is lot 26.02, block 3101. It is a 0.77 acre parcel of land, 33,616 square feet, located on the southerly side of William Street. The area map that you see before you, the property is outlined in green with William Street located just to the north. North is putting down on this exhibit. Do we need to mark this as A1? This was not in the set of plans that were submitted.
Yes, we do need to mark this as A1 with today's date. And Mr. Eichel, I would ask that you provide a hard copy of this to the zoning board.
We will be happy to. As I stated, the property in question is located on the southerly side of William Street, approximately 475 feet west of Mountain Avenue. The property is located in the R10A residential district. In addition to the fact that the northern boundary is William Street, the surrounding east, west, and southern sides are surrounded by a multifamily condominium development known as Maple Grove that was constructed some time ago. You could see Lakeland Avenue intersecting the site, Chariot Court, and a little further to the east is a commercial property with a quick check located in it. Immediately across William Street in Middlesex Borough is the IND zone, which is the industrial zone. And this area, as my understanding, has been earmarked for a warehouse development as well as the Middlesex Borough's DPW yard. So considering the uses in the area, single family residential at this particular location, in my mind, is not the highest and best use for this property. The project proposal is to develop the property with, this is a colorized version of the site plan that you have in your set. We can mark this as A2.
Yes,
it's
please.
A colorized version of the site plan for 616 William Street prepared by my office. And what this represents is how the development is going to proceed. As you can see, we're proposing two three-story townhouse buildings. Each building would have six units in it. Each unit would be a two-bedroom unit with a one-car garage, with the ability to park a car in front of your own garage. Entrances to the building are provided directly off of the driveway entrances. There'll be patios provided for recreational space, as well as some open amenity space to the rear of each of the units. Entrance to the facility would be via a two-way driveway off of William Street. This will provide for a common drive to service each of the units. This would be 24 feet wide. It would also provide for six visitor parking spaces along the roadway. In addition to providing adequate parking under the residential site improvement standards, I'd like to point out that each of a two-bedroom attached townhouse requires 2.3 vehicles per unit. So that's a total of 28 parking spaces would be required. With the 12 garages, 12 driveways, and six parallel spaces, we have 30 spaces. So we meet the standard with regard to providing adequate parking for the project. As you can see from the exhibit, there's an extensive amount of landscaping proposed on site that will beautify the streetscape along William Street. Pedestrian sidewalks would be provided, flowering trees as well as shade trees proposed along the streetscape and along the front facades of the building. In addition, an extensive amount of evergreen screening would be provided along the perimeter of the project. In addition, you could see there's existing evergreen screening that exists as part of the Maple Grove development. So between the two, you have adequate separation. To be able to develop this project, the applicant will need to extend a water main approximately 200 to 300 feet up William Street to provide for adequate water service and fire protection. In addition, William Street will be widened to a point approximately 3/4 of the way along the property frontage, again, to provide for adequate roadway width for emergency vehicles to come to and from the site. An existing sanitary sewer easement exists, and which allows the connection of this property into the Maple Grove sanitary sewer system. This was established many years ago and is available for this project and will provide adequate sewer service to the facility. So you can see that the project like this, you need to make sure that you have adequate utilities available to you. All of that will be available. All of the utilities would be underground so that the property and each of the units would be properly served. As part of the development, the project proposes, we haven't detailed it out, but when we get to the site plan stage, we propose a number of measures referred to under the new regulations as green infrastructure techniques to help reduce runoff rates from the site. In addition to creating a bioswale along the streetscape, we're proposing to utilize porous pavement on the patio areas and perhaps some of the walkways and perhaps even the parking areas. In addition, we're proposing a subsurface detention system that would allow for additional groundwater recharge as well as mitigation to the increase in impervious coverage that would be part of the application. As far as setbacks go, the buildings would be compliant with regard to the side and rear yard and front yard setback. One of the one and only bulk variance that we are seeking is building coverage. We're proposing 28.6%, whereas 20% is permitted for single family residential development. I'd like to
be there for a minute. Could you repeat that coverage number? I missed that.
Certainly. What we're proposing is 28.6%. What is permitted for single family residential in the R10 zone is 20%. We're looking at a variance of 8.6% in coverage. However, I'd like to point out that planned residential developments, which are permitted in the R10A zone, do allow for building coverages as high as 30%. And I'd like to point out that the total lot coverage is consistent with the ordinance. In addition to the C variance that we're requesting for building coverage, we're requesting two D variances. A D1 use variance to develop the property for townhomes in the R10A zone on property that is less than 30 acres. That would be the standard. If I had 30 acres, I could develop this property as townhomes. However, because we don't have that 30 acres, we have to compare it to the single family dwellings that are permitted on 10,000 square foot lots in the R10. Zone. The second variance is a density variance, D5 density variance. We're proposing 15.6 dwelling units per acre, where based upon our lot size and 10,000 square foot lots permit for single family, would calculate out to 3.36 dwelling units. The fact that this property is located and I'll just refer back to Exhibit A1 again. And you look at its location within the community, understanding that this is This is a remnant parcel. This is a leftover from the original overall R10A. As a matter of fact, this property, according to your master plan, falls into planning area A. And when you look at planning area A, and you look at it on the map, the entire area is shaded the same color, including this property. So as I said, this is a remnant parcel that was kind of left over. And this is the type of infill development that this type of project, the townhouse project at the density we're proposing, is appropriate for this area. This site, in my mind, is particularly suited for this use because of the surrounding uses that exist, because of the potential development across William Street to the north and Middlesex Borough. I think the townhouses are particularly suited for this use and this property. in my mind, when you look at the positive criteria for the D1, I think you obviously, we go to the purposes of the Municipal Land Use Act, and we look at 40:55(d)(2). In my mind, purpose A would be advanced by allowing this to move forward. And that basically states to encourage municipal action to guide the appropriate use or development of lands in a manner that will promote the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. By advancing the goals of the state's master plan to redevelop in areas within the cities where infrastructure already exists, in my mind, is an advancement to the general welfare. I also see purpose E as being a positive element to site to promote the establishment of appropriate population densities and concentrations that will contribute to the well-being of persons, neighborhoods, communities, and regions, and preservation of the environment. In my mind, this the townhouse use is much more appropriate than the single family residential. The single family residential in this particular location, it would be out of sorts. It would be the odd man out in my mind. Also, I believe element G, to provide sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of residential uses. And finally, the beautification of the site through landscaping and really the beautified architecture that will be presented by our architect. I, to promote a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangements. Now, in addition to the positive criteria, the case law under Medici also requires that we show that the site is particularly suited for the proposal and that it would promote the general welfare. Demonstrating that the site is particularly suitable for use does not require the proof that there's no other potential location for this use. As you can see, there's other multifamily developments in the immediate area. Nor does it demand evidence that a conforming use must be situated here. In this particular case—
I'm on a Zoom.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Rather than, in this particular case, I think the property is particularly suited because of the fact of its the remnant nature of the lot, the location surrounded by multifamily uses, the housing types and uses already existing in the immediate area. So in my mind, I believe we passed that test. In addition, the negative criteria, there's no substantial detriment to the public good, and there's no substantial impairment to the intent and purpose of the master plan and the zoning ordinance. The site will be redeveloped in a manner that's consistent with neighborhood character. Surrounding uses are all multifamily. Adequate parking will be provided. Subsurface detention basin and other stormwater management measures would mitigate increased coverage, the use of garage parking spaces to further reduce coverage and improve water quality, I think, are a benefit. The existing streetscape would be enhanced with the new plantings, approved aesthetics through site rehabilitation. The R10A, as I mentioned earlier, does permit building coverages of up to 30% when developments are a planned residential type. As far as no impairment to the master plan, I believe that certain elements of the master plan's land use element, certain goals, and purposes of the land use element are being advanced. One is to ensure that harmonious interrelationship of various land use activities through the entire township and with neighboring municipalities. I believe that this type of use in this location, considering where it is, it meets that goal of the land use element. To encourage high quality design and residential development, you'll see from our architect that we have created a building that will have some interesting treatments and articulation in the facade. And finally, to preserve the character and quality of existing residential neighborhoods while providing the opportunity for redevelopment where desirable and possible. We certainly think that this is an opportunity for infill development. It provides for an improvement to the site. It creates a rateable for the community. There will be, of the 12 units, two of the units will be affordable units. So that is definitely a positive to site. Now, as to the D5 density variance, the test is not quite the same as the D1 because the use in essence is considered permissible. What we have to demonstrate is that this property can support the density that we're proposing. And I think we've demonstrated that through the fact that we meet the setback requirements, providing adequate light, air, and open space. We meet the height requirement. We're limiting ourselves to the maximum permissible height for the zone. There's no height variance being requested. Granted, the building coverage is in excess of what is permitted, but it's not in excess of what would normally be permitted for a planned residential development. So in my mind, I believe that the board could grant this variance, both the D1 and D5 variance, as well as the C2 variance for building coverage without substantial detriment to the public good or the intent and purpose of your zone plan. I believe that this will certainly be an enhancement to the area. The location along William Street, the intersection with Mountain Avenue, allows for easy access to and from the site. You're not talking about a significant amount of traffic being generated by a 12-unit townhouse development. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions that the board members might have.
Sure, just a couple of follow-up questions. You've had an opportunity to review Mr. Chadwick's report of April the 13th. And three, with regards to the conceptual stormwater management plan, we're going to defer that to the time of the site plan, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And with the exception of comments three or paragraph three and four, Mr. Hinterstein's letter, and I'll address comment six, but we can comply with all of the comments there, correct?
Yes.
And three and four, we'll have our architect provide testimony on. 2.6, and this would be a Middlesex County letter. We're not filing a site plan application, so we would ask that be deferred until the time of site plan as well, as it might be a little premature to get a county letter saying that we wouldn't have an application to submit. They would only consider the site plan, not the use variance application. So we'd ask for relief from that condition until the time of site plan. Mr. Chairman, if the board members have any questions of the witness.
Sure. Anyone on the board have any questions of this witness?
Mr. Chairman, it's not a question, it's board's edification. The township adopted a new master plan in December of 2020. That's a farmer's statement that this property is shown within the multifamily district is correct. which is a significant consideration where demonstration that you are not in conflict with the master plan being promoted.
Thank you, Mr. Chadwick. Anyone else have any questions? Arvid, proceed, please.
Thank you. If I may at this time call our architect to testify this evening, Mr. Brian Taylor.
Mr. Taylor, are you present?
Yes, I am.
Would you raise your right hand? Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes, I do.
Your name and address, please.
Taylor?
I just changed him to panelist so we could see him. I think it automatically mutes people.
Okay.
Mr. Taylor, can you unmute and give us your name and address, please?
He's back.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, I'm back. My name is Brian Taylor, last name T-A-Y-L-O-R. The office address is 95 Watchung Avenue, North Plainfield, New Jersey.
Mr. Taylor, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Please.
Have you appeared before this board as an architect and been accepted by this board as an architect in the past?
I believe I have not been before this board before.
Why don't you give us a brief overview of your education and credentials as a licensed architect in New Jersey?
Sure, I graduated from the New Jersey Institute of Technology School of Architecture. I've had my own office and my own practice in North Plainfield since the year 2000. And I've appeared before many planning boards and zoning boards throughout the state of New Jersey.
Thank you, Mr. Taylor. Your credentials are fine.
Thank you.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Mr. Taylor, I'd like you to, if you would, specifically addressing Mr. Hinterstein's comments 3 and 4 with regards to square footage of the units and also the appearance of the units. Can you give us your overview as an architect, a licensed professional architect in the state of New Jersey, about what we're proposing on constructing at the site, what it'll look like, and outside and inside?
Okay, if I could share my screen, I'll bring up the plans. We can briefly go over the floor plans. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Was this part of the submitted set, Mr. Taylor?
This was, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so as it was stated by Mr. Lanzafama, this is a series of 2 buildings. Each building will contain 6 townhomes. Each townhome is 3 levels. With regard to the area, the footprint of each unit, and I'll kind of zoom in here on one unit, is 800 square feet. So the total unit square footage on all 3 floors would be 2,400 square feet. If we could, just go back to the first floor. So starting on the first floor, you would enter from the front in a covered entry. There would be a closet, stair hall, and a corridor going back to a recreation area with a powder room. Additionally, on the first floor would be the garage that would be accessed from the front of the building. Moving up to the second floor would be really the main floor of the building, which would contain the kitchen toward the rear, a powder room, a dining area, and then a living area toward the front of the building. And then proceeding up to the third floor, we would have the bedroom area, which would consist of 2 bedrooms. It would be a master bedroom up toward the front of the building. There would be a bathroom and laundry closet in the center of the building, common bathroom. And then toward the rear, we would have a common bedroom and then a common living area, which could be it could be an exercise area, it could be a place for the kids to study, or just a place, an additional common area for the family to hang out. So that's essentially the layout of each unit. And if we go to the rendering of the building, which hopefully will come up. Yes, so this is a rendering of the front of the building.
Let me stop you for just a second. This was also provided with the application, correct?
Yes, I believe so.
Thank you.
So the building will have, as I mentioned, some covered entries over each of the entrances to the townhomes. There will be masonry, a masonry base. We have some articulation with the masonry. in the front elevation. The other aspect about the building is it does set back. So in the middle two units are set back from the outer two units. And then that also is reflected on the rear elevation. And I know there was a comment about the rear elevation, and I think the architectural elevations don't really reflect that. If we look at the back of the building, you can see that there is a bump in the back of the building. And so when you look at the rear elevation, the elevation doesn't express that. And what we can do is when it comes time for the site plan application, we can certainly show more renderings of the building. Additionally, I just also wanted to point out that this was really a concept for this bifurcated application. So when we come back to the board, we will address any other comments that we have tonight with regard to the architectural aspect of the building. We can certainly enhance the building by, you know, adding different materiality. We can enhance the building by articulating the roof line, both in the front and the back, to create something that has a little bit more appeal. But this was just a concept to express the type of use and the type of structure that we would like to see in this application. I
Arvin?
I don't know if he's talking or not. I can't hear him. Maybe you're on mute.
I was. I'm sorry. Okay. I was asking if Mr. Hinterstein had any additional concerns with regards to comments 3 and 4 that were not otherwise addressed.
I do not, Arvin. I think the architect has stated, I think we're going to have another bite of this apple when it comes into the site plan portion of the application. So again, I don't think the visual or the, you know, my concerns about some of the, you know, the articulations or some of the characteristics of the building really have an impact on the use aspect of the project, which is what we're here for now. But I appreciate some of the articulations that are shown. I just think there may be a need, and I could work that out with the applicant or the applicant's architect down the line, as to perhaps providing a little bit more variation in materials or a little additional stonework. Perhaps it's a little bit more articulation on the unit itself, perhaps splitting it with an articulation, or as you saw with that back elevation, it's very, although there's some recess of the units, the full three stories is completely flat. And that just has a sort of a weird appearance to it with no, you know, overhang or soffit perhaps on one of the levels. But again, and that may even be able to increase some of the space if it's done minimally, where it doesn't impact the setback, but it may actually be able to increase some of the square footage of the units. But again, those are all things I think we could work with down the line.
Thank you, Henry.
Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other witnesses or testimony. If the board members have any questions for Mr. Taylor, or
does anyone on the board have any questions for the architect or any comments about this application? Hearing none, I'm going to open it to the public. Anyone in the public portion have any questions for this application or comments? Ms. Buckley?
I'm looking. It's hard as screen's on.
Oh, sorry about that.
So,
yes, can we please unshare
the screen?
Yep, there you go.
Just so much easier for everybody. Yes, we have a Mark Riemann. Cannot hear you at all, Mr.
Riemann. We cannot hear your audio.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, much louder. Please proceed.
Okay.
I need to swear you in. Could you raise your right hand?
Yes.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to give should be the truth?
Yes.
Your name and address, please.
Mark Riemann, 123 Chariot Court, Piscataway.
Thank you.
Please, Mr. Riemann.
So I was appointed by the board of the Maple Woods community, which is the community that surrounds this. It's not the Maple Grove community, it's the Maple Woods community. And so we are the buildings that surround that location. We are asking that there be a fence that goes around the property to stop residents from either community going back and forth, specifically because of garbage. We have a neighboring community, the Maple Grove, which is on the other side of us. And we constantly have problems with our garbage where people are just dumping things by the dumpsters, which then cause us to have increased fees because we have to have bulk pickup and such.
We have no problem providing a fence enclosure along the back and the sides of our property. Our trash would be kept in the garages and put out for collection by a carting firm.
Did you hear that, Mr. Ryman?
Yes, I did.
Awesome. Okay. Any other questions or statements, sir?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Ms. Buckley?
Mr. Chairman, I have one comment to the board. The architectural plan, as they went through them, you'd readily see that potential additional bedrooms could arise. I think if you grant approval to this, you want to be specific that these are two-bedroom townhouses, because you also asked the parking is just at the minimum.
Title?
I think we can address that at the time of site plan, and that concern will obviously be something that the board is aware of and will bring up if we don't satisfy them at that time.
Awesome. Do you have an issue in stipulating that these are two-bedroom townhomes as part of the grant of the use variance is really my comment.
No, these are two-bedroom townhomes.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Mr. Chairman, I think you need to just check with Ms. Buckley to see if there are any.
Not the public. Yeah, I was about to. Anyone else have a hand raised there?
I don't see anyone, Chairman.
Okay, close the public portion. Anyone on the board have any questions or comments about this application? None? Okay, I'm going to make a motion to approve this application and this use variance.
I'll second.
Ms. Buckley, call the roll.
Mr. Zimmerman? Warren, you're muted. Just raise your hand if you said
sorry.
There
sorry.
Yep. Yes. We found Warren. Mr. Reggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Ellie?
Yes.
And Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you very much.
Please. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night, Mr. Eitel.
Good night.
Let's move on to item number 11, which is the adoption of resolutions from the regular meeting, May 13th, 2021.
First resolution, Wael Hamed. This was an application for pillars that you approved on a modified requirement that they remove some of them. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Next is Alexei Berginsky. This application was approved. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Mr. Cahill?
Yes.
Finally, Raymond and Lucille Harkar. This was an application to keep an existing accessory structure. Mr. Zimmerman?
Yes.
Mr. Oreggio?
Yes.
Mr. Patel?
Yes.
Mr. Mitterrando?
Yes.
Chairman Cahill?
Yes.
Those are all the resolutions that I have.
Item number 12 is adoption of the minutes from the regular meeting of May 13th, 2021. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Item number 13, can I get a motion for adjournment?
I will make the motion for adjournment.
Everybody, all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Once again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out and volunteering for the township.
Thank you.
Everybody have a weekend, happy everyone. And safe Memorial Day, please.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
You too, everyone.
You too.
You also.
Good night.
Good night.
Night. Night all.
Go on. Night, night.
Night.
Good night.
Bye. Bye, Roy. Bye, guys.
Night.
Henry, see you tomorrow. Tomorrow? Yeah. Okay. Good night.